WPM Boston presents The Duke of Newbury Street, starring Daniel Dolinoff as Alexander Endicott and Nellie Farrington as Cleo Carmel, with Matthew Ringle as Dimitri. Sponsored by Aunt Bertha's old-fashioned Boston Borscht. Boston, bring something new to your dinner table. It's time for Borscht!
Ah, my friends, please, please come in. Warm yourselves by the fire. Would you like something to drink? Vodka, perhaps. Хорошо. You have come for a story, yes? A story of my good friend Alexander, the Duke of Newbury Street, and his lovely protege, Cleo? I have many tales of their adventures to tell you. Perhaps the adventure of the Tsar's ghost, where Alexander's frightful dreams led Cleo and myself to discover an abandoned smuggling ship off the coast of Nova Scotia? A ship, I might add, with a terrible secret. Or maybe the tale of the theft of the fabled Fenway diamonds, and how Alexander was able to recover the stones even while imprisoned in a jail cell. But you want a particular tale, do you not? The tale of how our lovers first met. That is a story I have not told in many a year. Let me gather my thoughts while my good friend, Mr. Noyes, tells you of our sponsor, Aunt Bertha's old-fashioned borscht, and I shall come back to tell the tale. I shall be just a moment.
Have you ever found yourself craving a delightful snack, but were tired of ordinary Boston baked beans? Well, have we got something new for you to try. Aunt Bertha's old-fashioned Boston borscht. Full of hearty flavor, vitamins, and Bertha's own special secret ingredient. Friends, you've never had borscht like this before.
And every can includes a special prize at bottom.
So you'll even have something to give the kiddies at home. Yes, Boston, it's time for borscht. Aunt Bertha's old-fashioned Boston borscht. Your taste buds will thank you.
Thank you, my friend. Now, where was I? Ah, yes. The story of when Cleo and Alexander first met. My memory is not as good as it was, but I believe it was in the summer of 1936. My good friend, Mr. Alexander Endicott, and I had been living in quiet seclusion on Newbury Street for nigh on 7 years. Little did we realize that our seclusion was about to come to a violent end, as we were about to be burgled at the instruction of foreign agents. It was only by chance that I happened to approach our dear Cleo Carmel.
Miss Cleo Carmel?
Yes.
My name is Jones, and this is my associate, Mr. Smith. May we sit?
Not just yet. Jones and Smith. My, what unusual names.
No more unusual than Cleo Carmel. Names are just the currency for us to conduct business, yes?
So it's business you wish to discuss.
Most assuredly. Is there a more private place where we can discuss matters?
But we've only just met. A girl's got to be careful when talking to strangers, especially ones with such memorable names as Jones and Smith. I think we should keep our meetings nice and public for now.
I assure you, miss, you are in no danger, and our business is of a most confidential nature.
Is that a touch of an accent I hear? German, perhaps? Or Russian? Sorry, comrades. When you're in my country, you play by my rules.
But
The Devochka is quite correct, Anton Ivanich. We are the beggars here. She sets the rules.
Finally, someone who knows how to treat a lady proper. Take a seat, both of you. We've got business to discuss. Now then, what can little old me do for such lovely gentlemen like you? And please, drop the fake apple pie accents. Discussing crime is so difficult when even your voice is lying.
Very well. Are you familiar with Alexander Endicott?
The reclusive millionaire? Only by name. They say he hasn't been seen in public for years.
Clearly you are not reading your own newspapers.
Here is the Boston Post from last week.
I'm a Globe girl myself.
Take a look at the circled photograph on page 17.
I see. So the press has finally caught a picture of Alexander out and about. Handsome devil. Who's the brute by his shoulder?
We believe him to be Alexander's manservant, Dmitry Grigorievich Orlov. We have no clear photographs of him.
Can't see his face. But those hands. Talk about Beauty and the Beast.
Alexander and Dmitry share a brownstone in the city, over on Newberry Street.
A well-protected brownstone. Not so easy for your average criminal to break into.
I am many things, but I am not an average criminal.
Your intelligence leads us to believe these two gentlemen keep a safe somewhere in their penthouse.
And you wish to obtain the contents?
Just so.
You two seem like a couple of go-getters. Why don't you burgle the place yourselves?
We tried.
But we soon learned that this job requires the services of a professional.
A professional who can be discreet.
Then it's your lucky day, boys, as I am both professional and discreet. But my discretion does not come cheap. I expect to be well compensated for my services.
But of course, my dear. Ask and your price will be met. We even have a small, down payment.
My, my. I don't think I've seen quite that many Franklins in one place in quite some time. You may be Ruskies, but you know just what to say to a girl. So, tell me, just what is in this safe of Mr. Alexander Endicott that has you so riled up?
If I told you, you would not believe.
I can believe quite a bit when money's involved. Dazzle me.
Jewels.
A king's ransom. Two!
Diamonds, opals, rubies.
Oh, keep saying what you're saying. I'm positively aflutter.
Bring us the contents of the safe. Bring us everything. Everything, you understand? We will ensure you are well compensated.
My price might be more than you'd expect.
You'll get it.
I'd better. I will, of course, need a few days to consider.
Of course.
We would expect nothing less.
Here is our card. Call the number engraved at the bottom. Make sure when you call that you identify yourself as, shall we say, Anastasia. We will know it is you.
Anastasia?
A private joke. Please indulge me.
I can always indulge a man with a sense of humor, especially when they have deep pockets. Mr. Jones, Mr. Smith.
Miss Carmel?
A pleasure doing business with you. I'll be in touch.
Ah, now you see how she is, Arcleo. Or rather, how she was before she came into our lives. But I am getting ahead of myself.
Borshamoy!
You need to stop an old man from rambling. Where was I? Oh, of course. Cleo's investigation into Alexander. The next day, Cleo spent in the library, researching what she could about Alexander Endicott. There wasn't much information. Alexander was more of a recluse in those days, but she found enough to know that Alexander rarely left his brownstone. This was, of course, a problem she would have to overcome. But she was a professional, Arcleo, and knew that we would not see her coming unless she tipped her hand. Indeed, we would never have known about her investigations if she had not made one little slip.
Morning, Lou. How's the news business?
Well, well, well. Look who the cat dragged in.
Aw, Lou, you're not still mad at little old me.
For stealing my press credentials and using them to get into the museum? You're damn right I'm mad.
Keep your voice down.
The police kept me in lockup for 2 nights, Cleo. 2 nights. You're just lucky I didn't give you up.
And I'm very grateful that you didn't. Besides, you were well paid for your trouble.
And that's the only reason we're still on speaking terms. So what is it this time? Museum floor plans? Bank rosters? Timetables for the armored cars?
Nothing so crude. Just some background on a man.
Why, Miss Cleo Carmel, have you finally come to your senses? You finally looking to settle down with a husband?
Aw, Lou. No one could ever replace you in my eyes.
Who is the unlucky fellow?
Alexander Endicott.
Ah, Boston's own mystery man. Did you see we got a photo of him the other day?
I did.
First paper that's managed that in years. Let's see what we've got on file. Ah, here we go. Endicott Alexander. Mid-30s, although his actual age is unknown. He's too old for you, Cleo.
I prefer older men, Lou. You know that. Go on.
Walks with a cane due to an unknown injury. First settled in Boston sometime in the mid to late 20s.
And before that?
That's just it, sweetheart. No one knows. He just showed up one day with more money than God, and he seemed to know just what to do with it. As the markets fell, his fortune only seemed to rise. When you've got that kind of money, especially in times like these, you can afford to be a little mysterious.
What else?
Aren't you the nosy Parker? Well, let's see. He's got a manservant named Dimitri. No pictures of him, I'm afraid. Endicott doesn't go out in public much, so it might be tough to get a face-to-face if you really are thinking he's husband material.
Perish the thought. What else? Surely you've got more to tell me.
Here's something. The man loves opera.
Opera?
Yes, ma'am. The few times we've caught him out and about, it's been for the opera. Even maintains a private booth down at the Grand just on the off chance he wants to attend.
Any favorite composers?
Well, if the operas he actually attends are any indication, he's a real Shostakovich lover.
Thanks, Lou. You're a doll. Here's something for your trouble.
A 20. That's the best that you can do.
Times are tough all over, Lou. See you around. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Hello, is Mr. Endicott in? Sure, I'll wait. Hello, Mr. Endicott. This is Lou over at the Post. You know how he told me to let you know if anyone ever came around asking questions about you? Well, you'll never guess what just happened.
Cleo continued her investigation. She visited Newberry Street and did her best to ascertain the layout of our brownstone. When she was unable to see through our windows because of the heavy curtains, she climbed to the roof and peered through the skylight into Alexander's bedroom. We had secured the skylight with bars, but neglected to block it with a curtain. A mistake Cleo helped us to correct in future years. Satisfied, she withdrew and began to make her plans. 2 days later, she dialed the number engraved upon the business card.
This is Anastasia. I'll do it.
Excellent. My partner will be most pleased.
Meet me back in the cafe where we first met in a week's time. Say, 4 o'clock? The cafe is normally empty by then.
Very well. We will see you then, Anastasia.
Ah. If only Cleo knew the trouble she was getting herself into. The next night, an unexpected person arrived at our address on Newberry Street.
Delivery!
What is this? We were not expecting a delivery.
Well, we don't always tell you we're coming. I've got some roses here for, Mr. Endicott?
What? From who?
It doesn't say, but there's an envelope.
What is that? Perfume? Dear Mr. Endicott, some secret information has come into my possession, information that I wish to discuss. Please accept these opera tickets and join me in my private box for... Oh my goodness!
Well, don't stop reading, Mac. It was just getting interesting.
It is none of your business. Away with you. Be gone.
What? No tip?
It was one of Cleo's more outlandish ideas to lure Alexander out of his brownstone, but one designed to play upon his reclusive nature, as well as his, shall we say, natural male proclivities. Her note was very cleverly written, I assure you. I could read you the contents, but they tell me this is a family show. I will have to leave it to your imagination. Regardless, Alexander read dear Cleo's note to himself with considerable interest, and soon summoned me to bring around the car. Away we drove, with Alexander dressed in his finest clothes. All of this was observed by Cleo, of course. She had positioned herself on our roof long before the delivery, and she watched as Alexander exited his brownstone, entered our car, and was driven away. Not able to believe her luck that her first attempt to lure Alexander out had been successful, she waited half an hour before producing her tools. Glass cutters, a blowtorch, and a length of rope. The glass fell away quickly. The bars took a bit longer, but they were no match for a determined hand. Soon she was lowering herself down with a grace that few could match. Once inside, it took her less than 10 minutes to locate the safe, hidden behind the painting in the master bedroom. With the use of a doctor's stethoscope, she began the laborious process of cracking the combination. She had determined the first two digits and was working on the third when...
Good evening. I'm not accustomed to hosting anonymous young women in my bedroom, but for someone as lovely as yourself, I shall make an exception. May I interest you in a martini?
Ha! My good friend Alexander always has a way with the women, no? And poor Cleo has herself in quite a bind, yes? I wish I could tell you more tonight, but the announcer is tapping on his watch, which means that I am out of time. But come back on Wednesday, my friends, and I will tell you what happened next. Until then, do svidaniya!
The Duke of Newbury Street, Episode 1, was written by Jeremy Holstein and directed by Michael McAfee. Featured in the cast were Daniel Dolanoff as Alexander Endicott, Nellie Farrington as Cleo Carmel, and Matthew Ringel as Dimitri. Also in the cast were Tom Champion and Jay Sikora as the agents, Mike Sprague as Lou, Emery Westlake as delivery person, and Mare Freed as Bertha. Our production assistant was Liz Salazar, our recording engineer was Emery Westlake, and the studio envoy was Tilly Sokoloff. I'm your announcer, Rob Noyes. Stay tuned for more excitement with the Carla Quails Quilting Hour, heard only here on WPM Boston. This is WPM.
This has been a production of the Post Meridian Radio Players. This show may be freely shared for non-commercial purposes. Just remember to credit us and don't try to make money off of it without our express permission. If you enjoyed our work or would simply like to learn more, please visit our website at pmrp.org.